So here we are. We're back with the That's Interesting podcast. I'm Bill.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to talk about Christianity, the world.
Health at times.
Politics.
Politics. Craziness. Conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So much. So, yeah. It was, you know, there was some wild, you were really narrowing down the time to the election.
Oh, yeah.
Just a few weeks to go.
This will be both my kids' first presidential election to vote in.
Yeah. Jacob's just missing it by, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so he cannot vote in this presidential election. But there's a lot going on in the news there, obviously, and just been a sort of a calm week relative to some others. We had our senior recognition at the high school that our kids go to. It's I know, Brian, this is your last one. How's
last
that feel?
One.
What are you thinking?
I mean, it'll be interesting to she's wanting to go over to Mississippi State. And, I mean, she's done well with her grades and stuff. So, you know, it's it'll be interesting to see how life transitions whenever she moves out and goes over there. I mean, we still got a little while, but, you know, just the winding down and, like, all these last things, last football game, you know, we're starting into the last cheer season. She's in competitive cheer at Hewitt. So, the, you know, February is our last event.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy navigating, like, as parents, kind of you go through so many firsts when they're young and they're doing the first things. And now it's like you're, as far as their school career goes, you're like getting towards the last stuff. Now we still have Maya at home. Yeah. And so we've got a couple years there, but, you know, when you have six and you're down to the final two and there's only, you know, 2 years between them, like, it's wild.
And it's a weird thing too, talking about the first and the last. Like, there's a lot of, like, the first, you remember a lot of those, and I guess the significance of the high school senior last events is you remember a lot of those, but there's a lot of last things that you don't know that was the last time. Like when Bryson was done playing baseball, we didn't know that was his last time playing baseball. When, you know, when they get the last time they, you know, I guess you do, like, when you go to pick them up in the car from school, like, you know that that's probably your last when they're getting their license. But there's a lot of lasts that you can't just be like, hey, we know this is coming up and this is the last time this is going to happen. So kind of makes it significant. So.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, even with Jacob's injury a few weeks ago, I mean, there's a possibility that we could get a home playoff game, but you know, they had their two home games after that, homecoming and senior night. Little did you know, like, your last potential home game could have been the game being injured when we were home. So, you know, it was walking across that field. And I guess it's hard to even comprehend, like, hey, this is the, you know, this is the last time we will walk across here for senior night or whatever. Maya will have a senior night for volleyball in the gym and things like that. But, you know, just getting through that phase of life and moving into the next where you almost wonder, like, you've been so busy with sports and things like that at this phase of life. And then when your kids are done with those things, like, what's the next? It's a little bit exciting to figure out. It's just something different. Your kids are becoming young adults and moving into that phase of life. So,
that's, we've talked, Marla and I have talked about, like, of course, this might be more me talking about than her, is like the next phase being, I went to an air show on Saturday for a little while, and it was great. I love flying, and the guy, it's just this guy's property, and he's got an airstrip there, and tons of airplanes flying in there, and that was kind of my thought, was this could be the next phase where Ella at Mississippi State, Bryson at Auburn, and we need a piece of property that we can put an airstrip on and just fly out of there, fly down to where they're at, and, you know.
But in the grand, Bryson's down to 1 year at Auburn.
I know. Yeah.
Then,
but it still gives me a good reason to do it.
That's right.
If I could get my wife up in the airplane with me. Yes.
Yeah. That's, yes. I don't do well in small planes.
Yeah.
No. The up, the down, the lack of HVAC the cab of
now
the plane.
Now's a good time, though.
I feel a little woozy.
Yeah, if I can get you up now, when it's like early morning, late, like going into the evening, super smooth, nice and cool. You'll probably need a jacket in there, actually. It's not bad. But yeah, that's, and that is definitely one of my passions.
Yeah. Well, so we got a lot of lasts going on right now. And so let's jump into this story with this One Direction guy.
That was a last.
It really was. Sure. I don't know if Beyonce was involved with that, but crazy.
Or the Clintons.
I did see, to put a better note on it, you know, there are lots of people, and I don't know that it's a better note, but who struggle obviously with alcohol and drug addiction, and there's probably not too many families out there that can say that they haven't been touched in one way or another by drug and alcohol addiction. You know, in our own family, we had a cousin. He was young. He was a great guy, but it all started with prescription pain medicine, which happens with a lot of people. Yeah. And I'll circle back here in a minute and talk about what happened to it. Was it Liam Payne? Was the guy's name? I believe so. From One Direction. So we'll talk about what happened there. But so our cousin. Great guy, two young kids, had an injury where he was prescribed prescription.
He went into the hospital and they put him on a morphine pump.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Our aunt was even like, hey, that's morphine.
Yeah.
Is that not
powerful?
Very powerful and addictive? Yeah. Oh, no, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And ever since then.
So prescription pay meds that just cycled into and it's a different world. And not that I don't think anybody obviously goes into it thinking, I think I'll become a drug addict.
Yeah.
Or an alcoholic or, you know, that's not their goal. But I can remember when we moved back to our hometown he was kind of in the middle of that, and I would go over to his house and just hang out with him because I thought, well, maybe if I hang out with him, he's not going to hang out with those people. And he would get phone calls, like, repeatedly. When he's trying to stay away from it, they're constantly getting phone calls of, like, hey, I got this or whatever. And, you know, in this small little town, he's pointing out, you know, I can go two blocks this way or a block this way. And and there's people dealing all over the place.
Yeah.
And so then you lose your job
because
you're unstable because you're taking pain medicine all the time. You're not responsible. It affects your whole being. And so now you don't have income, but drugs don't come free.
Right.
So I can remember being over there and him just talking about, like, well, I got to go steal something so that I can get money to buy more drugs.
Yeah.
And man, you hurt for those people. You hurt for people that are caught up in that cycle. And there's some empathy that for people who just hit the end of that line. Yeah. And
and that's the video that I think this is the video I saw. I'm honestly not completely. It is where he climbed over the balcony.
He fall from a third floor
balcony. Yeah, it didn't look like he was.
And I'm not sure if it was a jump, a fall from what I understand from the story, the hotel manager had called the police because he was creating a disturbance prior to that. And by the time the police got there, he had jumped, fallen something off off of the balcony. And that was the end. I think he was injured in a way that it was not survivable. I saw a video that Russell Brand did to follow that up because he was a former drug addict and alcoholic. And really, as he says, he just was living in a life of debauchery.
Yeah.
And he was just talking about how, you know, these wealthy people who can really get their hands on anything. They can have whatever they want, and they're just seeking a spiritual experience through alcohol and drugs, something that's going to make them feel better.
Right.
And to just bring a new high, because they don't have the high of, you know, buying something that you've been saving up for, that, you know, those things you can just have anything you want.
Yeah.
And so they seek this feeling. And as Russell Brand said, it's really Christ is the only answer to that feeling, and knowing him. And not that,
that
again, don't be deceived by, like, you know, not that it's just all good feelings after you know Christ and you're never going to be sad and you're never going to be angry and those sort of things.
You're never going to have struggles with sin, because he is the only source to give you the strength to overcome that, and he has overcome that for you. But the struggles are there the whole time. And that's, you know, John MacArthur, we've talked about this before. He does a great message in series talking about the Christian life, and like how Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. I can't. Why is this wretched man that I am?
Yeah.
Who's going to save me from this?
Like the writer of the majority of the New Testament basically calls himself the chief of sinners.
Right.
Like, that's kind of causes you to take pause for a moment and just think about, wow, like, we sometimes elevate people on this pedestal of, like, you know, Christian leaders and people who've known Christ for a long time, and there's still a struggle there, and that is the Christian life.
And there should be, like, in this, there should be a sanctification process of, like, you know, the sins that I struggle with now shouldn't be the same sins that I struggled with 20 years ago. You know, there should be a sanctification process. That doesn't mean that nobody's ever going to stumble. It doesn't mean that they're never going to sin again, or even struggle with the same sins they did struggle with 20 years ago. It's just the, recognizing that Christ has paid it all, and he has satisfied that debt. He has satisfied the penalty for that sin for you if you have been made a new creation in him. And so, and Russell Brand, you're talking about.
Yeah, let's weave back to Russell Brand here. Of, I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to his podcast, to check out Russell Brand's podcast. He, it was about 6 months ago that he announced that he proclaimed Christ as his Savior, and it appears that he has surrounded himself with some pretty solid people.
Right.
He is digging into the Word. He quotes the Bible regularly and is just seeking to grow, it appears. And again, for a young Christian, seems from the background that he came from of sin and debauchery, as he describes it, he has a pretty wise perspective on applying scripture to his life.
Yeah, he does a good job, and I'll say, like, most of the people, and I'm sure you'll agree, the people that we recommend, like John MacArthur, has been solid for years. Mm. That still doesn't mean just go and listen to him without
checking with your Bible.
Exactly. Like, there's so many people that you can mark off the list of, like, hey, I don't need to listen to that person again.
Yeah.
If you listen to them enough, yeah, and you compare it to the Bible. Yeah. But Russell Brand, for a new Christian, yeah, and a young Christian,
yeah, don't follow people.
Yeah, no, but
you can listen to people,
really,
but
solid
follow
stuff.
The yeah. word, follow yeah. the Bible. So, yeah. So speaking of Weave, I don't know if you listened to Donald Trump did a podcast this past week.
I did not.
Some
that.
People are claiming that this podcast won the election.
Yeah.
Doing this podcast. Huh. I don't know. I think he won the election serving fries at McDonald's in Philadelphia.
Yep.
But but on this podcast, he talked about how people claim that he just rambles and gets off subject and just goes on tangents and all these things. And he explained that it's the Weave.
Yeah.
That he's just, you know, he goes off and talks about this thing, but then he weaves back to the original subject.
It's literally what comedians do their whole show. Like, that, they'll right. open with a little bit, and then at the end, they'll tie that opening joke into the last joke a lot of times.
Right.
And you go, oh, man, he brought that back up. That's yeah. hilarious.
But it does, I mean, listening to him afterwards, it's yeah. kind of, it was eye-opening. Like, he was very candid on the podcast that he was on, which was called the Flagrant Podcast. Now, I'm not, like, fully endorsing that podcast yeah. because it's a very pretty vulgar and but it's apparently widely known podcast. I think it was Andrew somebody is the kind of the host of that podcast.
Not Andrew Tate.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Whoever does, so Sharp, oh, yeah. who does a podcast as well, this guy, so they do their own individual podcast,
right.
and then they do a podcast together.
Schultz. Andrew Schultz?
That sounds right.
Is that right?
That could be.
He's a comedian. He's yeah. really funny. But I do not and cannot
endorse his,
right.
yeah. Holy. So it's a pretty vulgar.
Yes.
I mean, they kept it pretty low-key with Trump on there, at least. But it was interesting to just listen to some, and it was a very sort of casual conversation.
Yeah.
Afterwards, the guy actually said that he feels like with that podcast that Trump won the election.
Yeah.
So it's just very contrasting to anything that you see with Kamala Harris, where she is just so afraid
yeah.
to say anything that might, and just, I don't know, seems very scripted, everything that she
right.
says. And when she goes off script, it's not good, as
right.
we saw with the CBS interview.
Yeah. The CBS interview was the, she's done a couple interviews with CBS and then with Fox, but with CBS, where they had asked her a question and they played on the preview for
on
the
promo
show,
for
the
show.
Promo for it. She yeah. answered it one way.
It was kind of a long
just
and sort of
rambling,
all over the place.
All over, no answer
yeah.
at
yeah.
all to
yeah.
the question. And then in the actual interview that they played, they took a completely different answer.
Yeah.
And filled it in there.
Like, I mean, it made
literally
her look
was
like she
different.
Was
yeah.
more directly answering the question and more concise with her answer. And
fake
just,
news.
You know, definitely portrayed her in a more
yeah.
positive light, which, I don't know. That doesn't seem like it's the job of the media.
Yeah.
It
no.
seems like the job is report the news
well,
and,
like, and
be neutral.
When you look at the
it.
Fox News interview, I'm sure everybody thinks that, oh, Bret Baier was so contentious, and he kind of was, because she was supposed to do an hour, Then she showed up 17 minutes late, and then she cut it down to 20 minutes for the interview. And so he had to take all of his questions and try to make her give a straight answer. And you could tell, you know, if you saw the follow-up to that, he was talking about how he knew she was going to just ramble on about things. And it almost seemed like, and Glenn Beck talked about how she was waiting for that one moment. She just kept bringing up Trump at random times. Like, why are you even talking about him?
Right.
Because we're asking you this question, and you just keep – and Glenn Beck said she was waiting for this one moment where she went off the rails and started, like, yelling at the whole about how Trump is this horrible dictator. It is so crazy, and we've talked about this before, how their whole thing, and Jim Gaffigan – did you see that?
And the Walls impersonation?
No, when he was on the when they did that.
The Al Smith.
Yes,
dinner.
Did you see Jim Gaffigan?
I did not.
I really encourage you guys, and again, just watch the language and everything. But Jim Gaffigan did a funny thing. He talked about how the Democrats are so afraid of Trump being a threat to democracy that they staged a coup. And then installed an unelected person as their candidate.
Well, the truth of things is starting to come out, as you see the video that came out of Kamala at it was in Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And she was talking about abortion, and there were some students in the audience that they didn't really say anything about abortion. They just said, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And she looks at them and says, I think you're at the wrong rally.
Yeah.
You want to go to the smaller one down the street.
And the liberals all erupted in cheers and applause. And like, if you can't have, I mean, that just is very telling.
Yeah.
Very telling.
If that's your response, like, I don't know. If you're trying to pull in Christians at all, that doesn't seem like the way to do it.
No.
Like,
And I mean, honestly, like when you look at the platform, and I get there's people that say they're Christian and they're going to vote for that. If you look at the platform, everything that there was a time where it was not this bad, but at this point, platform and major thing that they stand for is the complete opposite of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's why she felt so comfortable to say, you're at the wrong place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we have to, as Christians, you have to pray. You have to be in the Word. Again, just like we talked about last week, like, our hope is not in an elected individual. Yes, we have things that we desire. I do think that they're looking to censor things like social media.
Absolutely.
They're looking to remove First Amendment rights.
And Second Amendment
and
rights.
From what they can, you know, who is the determiner of what is misinformation?
Right.
Or false information? Like, that ultimately is the big question.
Well, and you can
like,
look
if
back.
You're gonna...
You can just look back over the past few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much stuff were we told that's misinformation, that's false information? And now, even like ivermectin, have you seen the studies now? They're like, oh, hey. This stuff works great, worked really well when with people with COVID. Mm-hmm. And still, mainstream media is like,
horse medicine.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is.
Just to see the direction of things. Again, I have my political beliefs, which you can probably pretty clearly tell through our discussions here. But ultimately, you won't find me crying on the ground.
No.
If the candidate that I do do not desire to win wins, I will go to work the next day.
Yep.
And I will talk to people about Christ and have spiritual conversations, and that's what I will do.
Yep.
No matter which way it goes. So I don't know. We got 3 weeks till that. Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
I do find it very interesting that now that they can bet on the election, which that's a new thing. Did we talk? I don't think we talked about that, or did we?
We have not, I don't believe.
You can now bet on the election, and that has not been available for like 100 years. And so the significance of that is, you know, the Democrats were against it. Republicans were for it. It adds a very stout layer of protections and legal ramifications if there is fraud found. Mm. Because if somebody loses $1 million or millions of dollars, then they have to be able to do the due diligence to find out, was this rigged? Mm-hmm. And so that will be interesting. But that, and then just every different poll that you see now, like Elon Musk's poll, there was another poll that one of my friends showed me that it was like an email-based poll where only you could only use one email per vote. Mm-hmm. And literally every one of them is like 75% voting for Trump.
Yeah.
And
it is interesting to me, all these challenges to states that are trying to clean up their voter rolls and removing non-citizens from the voter rolls. Like, who's trying to stop that?
Yeah.
Who's against that? And why would you be against that?
Right.
Like, who thinks that people who are not citizens of our country should be able to determine who the president of the country is? Like, I'm sorry, like, I am all for empathy for people who've come into our country, whether it's legal or illegal or whatever. I can have empathy there for them as people.
Right.
But I do not think as a nation, I mean, that's like taking in church members who you don't know are Christians. Like, it's this, like, a church member of a local body, like, your assumption is you want to make decisions as Christians.
Right.
And so you should ensure that your church membership is Christians. And so as a nation, we're making decisions for our country. Like, shouldn't we ensure that all the voters that are voting are actual citizens and legally able to vote?
Yeah, and you can even just bring it down just to your household. Who listening to this would be like, I'm going to have a random person. Actually, you don't even get the choice. Somebody's just going to put a random person to live in your house that you have no idea. There is nobody on this platform that would be like, that's a good idea. Send that person to my house. I don't know who it is. Just send them whenever they get here. Just send. Nobody would let that happen for somebody to come into their house. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in our country.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, there's a process. You want to, if somebody were coming into your house.
Right.
You want to know who they are. You want to know, like, have some idea, like, are they going to murder me in my sleep?
Right.
Are they, like, where are they coming from?
They're just opening but up again, the door and throwing them in there.
Yeah. Yes. And from the Christian perspective, I, as the church, we should be very willing to care for people and have empathy for people. And I think apart from a citizen of this country, like, the bigger citizenship that we have is in the kingdom of God and caring and having empathy for people in that world. So there is that piece, but there is also the things that apply to our country specifically, like voting. Like, that's not really a Christian empathy thing to say, oh, they're guests in our country, whether they're, you know, refugees or whatever, they should be allowed to vote. Like, that's not really a Christian empathy thing. And it's not a, I think you're less of a person thing. It's a, legally, I mean, that's just like you're saying, just like we're talking about church membership, like you should be a part of that nation, organization, church body before you have any say of like what happens with leadership or decisions of that entity. So, but we can still care for those people in a way that does show the love of Christ and does reach out to them in a manner where they can, the Holy Spirit can work in their heart. So, we're called to do that. Just like, you know, we talked about Romans 10 today. How lovely are the feet of them who bring good news.
Right.
And ultimately, that's what we want to do here is bring that good news. Like I said, we're talking politics and family and all of those things, but we want people to know Jesus above all else. So,
right.
So, conspiracy zone today.
Where are we at?
There's so much. There is so much. Gravity.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really think there's just such a thing as gravity?
Albuquerque just made me think of that.
Albuquerque.
It's from National Treasure, National Treasure. The guy just said a word
randomly.
Like, Albuquerque.
Yes. Gravity. Gravity's a word. We're going to differ on this.
Well, you know, I think that it's interesting that there's, again, we want to go to science. And what can science test? Science can test density, buoyancy, and
magnetism.
That is where I was headed. So we can test those things and repeat those things. Yes, we can test all those things, and we can see those things happen. Gravity, it's an interesting thing to say, there's something big, and the bigger the thing, the more gravity it has, and it just pulls things. And I never walk out of like a building or past a mountain, and I'm not like being drawn to that mountain. Or that building. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm not like struggling to walk out of it. There's, it's
in the grand scheme, though, is a mountain or a building large?
So we can go to the moon and the sun and how when the moon orbits the Earth, why is this? So the sun keeps the Earth in orbit, but it doesn't pull the moon closer to the sun when it goes on that side.
I would probably argue that the moon's orbit is ovular and not just completely circular, and that it may get drawn that way, but the gravity of the Earth would keep the moon in the Earth's orbit rather than the orbit of the sun.
So there's multifaceted things that have to that are problems for that thought. And again, we do talk about the Bible and we go back to the Bible a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Bible definitely says that the sun and the moon run their courses in the sky like a strong man running a race. So I mean, there's a lot of things that we can get into, and we're going to get into something that we were supposed to talk with Cody about, so Cody and I could argue about this. So I was not prepared for this.
This is only one piece of that much yes. larger conversation that I will step back from.
Yeah. Well, there are things that if that is the case, then there's a lot of things that don't make sense with it. with gravity being the source of
things. Used finger quotes for that.
I did use finger quotes for gravity because it is something that is just, we can't test it, we can't repeat it, we can't do anything
but
to
when you to say we can't it, test it,
but we can test electromagnetics. But and that does function in the way that we say gravity functions.
But can't we test gravity in a vacuum?
So is there still electromagnetism in place at that point? Yes is the answer. I'm shaking my head yes.
Okay, so again, as I would question, and this is a different conspiracy zone because we're going to get a little debate here on the podcast.
Most of the time it's just my opinion coming across.
That's right.
Or I say opinion. I shouldn't have said opinion.
Right.
But...
You put yourself out there.
Yeah.
So I would say in a vacuum that, well, let me go back. Outside of a vacuum.
Right.
Obviously, two things that weigh different amounts are going to fall at different speeds.
Density, buoyancy.
Right. So outside of a vacuum, your theory works, where a feather is going to fall slower than a brick.
Where does electromagnetism, does it go away in a vacuum?
I wouldn't think so.
Exactly.
So.
Electromagnetism.
Yeah.
Draws
so,
things to the earth.
Right.
But there's also
so why does
density
the
and buoyancy
speed of,
that are in play.
Right.
So you have density and buoyancy that are in play when there isn't a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a vacuum, there is not density and buoyancy in play.
There is, though. Air has density.
Right. And so when you take the density out of it because it's a vacuum.
Right. Then it's drawn to the earth by gravity.
No. Electromagnetism.
I'm not sure that that's how gravity is repeatable.
No,
there
it's
are,
not. No,
there
you
are constant. There are mathematical constants that go
for
with
electromagnetism.
That is not what. Okay.
Because you
electromagnetism
can
may
so why
have
you put,
constants.
Why, when you
as
put
well.
An electric charge into something, it will levitate? If you get enough electric charge, does gravity quit working at that point?
No, like charges repel.
Right. So
I mean, that is a
so
principle.
Why, when
of,
you put an electric charge into something,
right,
it levitates off of the earth.
So if you charged yourself enough, you could levitate.
You'd be dead if you did that. But
right.
You can also take a magnet and you can spin a top over top of a magnet. We can repeat those tests. Those are things we can repeat and show this works here.
Right.
Gravity is an enigma.
That has to do with charges.
Right. Gravity is an enigma.
Right.
That we cannot repeat. Mm-hmm. There's just theories about all this stuff. And they say that the sun just pulls us around. And all these planets get pulled around.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is pulling on Pluto to hold it in its orbit. But it doesn't have an effect on the moon.
It's a no, I didn't say it doesn't have an effect on the moon. So, Pluto doesn't have a larger planet that it is circling that has a gravitational pull that is holding it in a different orbit.
Right.
So, yes.
But how much closer to the sun is the moon and the earth? And yet the sun does not pull the moon into the sun.
Right.
So my point would be when you look at, and so all these things, see, because it all kind of fits together. And my.
Does it?
My view would look, yes, it does. Because my view is when you look at it and you can see observable, repeatable, all scientific things, observable, repeatable things that show, one, that like you can repeat all these things except for gravity. You can observe that there is a flatness to the earth that you cannot
don't go
observe
there, Brian.
Anywhere
We're not
else
even there.
But I'm saying this because again, we always talk about how we go back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you read the Bible, mm-hmm. there's not one person out there that's going to go, hey, we're on a spinning ball. There's this thing called gravity, and it pulls everything to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see any of that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get any of that from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it back to, we had to come up with all these things because, and if you look at a toroidal magnet and you look at the paths of like the ISS that mm-hmm. flies over, if you look at a toroidal current mm-hmm. through a magnet,
mm-hmm.
that's the current or the path that you'll see of the ISS.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that when you start looking into it, and this is like, I feel like I'm not even going to say I feel like I am doing this an injustice, because this is something that you're taking 20 years of looking into something, and everybody's mm-hmm. like, oh, you watched a YouTube video, you watched TikTok, and you saw. No, this is a half my life, and most people that have looked into this stuff, mm-hmm. this is a long time that mm-hmm. they went through and went, hey, this is an important thing mm-hmm. that why would they say that we evolved? Mm-hmm. They say we evolved because they don't want there to be a God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we evolved by chance, well, how did that chance get there? Well, the Bible talks about us living on a flat plane, that the earth is immovable. It doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
It took form like a seal, like clay under a seal.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all seen what happens when you press a seal into clay.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's what the Bible says.
I mean, again, those are metaphors.
Are they?
I guess it depends what area okay. of the Bible that you're quoting from.
So when for he me says to that say the, with when certainty. It says that the earth is... He sunk the foundations deep, and the earth does not move.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says that...
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of... I get it. I don't think that's the main point of the Bible, first
right.
of all.
I agree. That's not a salvation
But I
issue.
Also do believe that that's taking verses and, as we talk about often, cherry-picking things that fit the... viewpoint that you're coming from,
but you've got to show me that you've got
bias.
See, you tell me that all the time, by the way.
I do say that term.
Yes. So
because there's a lot of it out there.
And the problem like is that if you read the Bible and you read what it says about those things,
mm-hmm.
where did that come out of context when he says that he sunk the foundations deep and the earth does not move? So when he says things like that, mm-hmm. when he says that the sun and the moon run their courses in the heavens like a strong man running a race,
mm-hmm.
did he misspeak? Because
interpreting that to yeah. he's talking about a flat earth, I think is again extrapolating something that's not necessarily there.
My point is, if you read those passages, you're not going to come to the conclusion that we're on a ball hurtling through space mm-hmm. at millions of miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you look at the scientific view, mm-hmm. there is no God. We got here by chance. So mm-hmm. if the way that the earth that I see in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
that I would say this is the Bible describing the earth mm-hmm. being in a dome,
mm-hmm.
there's a firmament over top of it
mm-hmm.
that it's immobile, and it's sitting with waters above, waters below. If you look at that from what the Bible says, mm-hmm. then that is a really... It's so basically like a snow globe.
Mm-hmm.
How does science explain that as a random chance thing? They can't.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Where if... Oh, it was this gigantic explosion, and things just started hurtling through space...
Yeah, I don't think that adds up as a very scientific explanation either.
Right, right. But that's what science tells us happened, right?
Right, but okay. That's not scientifically reproducible.
Exactly. I don't see how I'm playing into your world. We're talking about things that are not scientifically reproducible now.
Yes, and I would say that's where you are. That we're...
So electromagnetism, yes, density and buoyancy are not, yes, scientifically reproducible?
That we're not going to go in a circular argument. Yes. I would just say that there is exceedingly large conspiracy that would have to cover thousands and thousands of people remaining silent for some of those things to be accurate.
There were a lot of people. Thousands of people would have known about this. Thousands of people have known about this. Uh-huh. Like, lots of people know that all these parties took place with P. Diddy's.
Sure.
And thousands of people would have known that all these elite politicians were going to, right, Epstein's Island.
Right.
So we have all these things, and yet there's things that we go, nah, they wouldn't do that.
Well, no. I don't think that anybody ever was like, no, that's not real.
Yes, there were lots of people who said that's not, right, real. Right. Lots of people. Epstein's Island, yeah, people laughed. That there's no way
that's a place. Large extrapolation to
it
say
really isn't.
This is true, so therefore
I'm not saying,
this
no,
is true.
I'm not saying this is true, therefore this is true. I'm saying the idea that, well, they wouldn't do this, mm-hmm, but they would do that.
Yeah, Hollywood
that
and
is the thing that I'm negating.
Yes, Hollywood and NASA, I feel like, are two very different.
Where does NASA get their money? Where does the pharmaceutical industry get their money?
Right.
This is the whole thing. It's, yes, like, it's about,
right,
money. It's,
I
about
know,
power.
It's about a,
it's
lack
about
of
control.
Trust 100% in institutions.
Because they've been proven to be so trustworthy. Because they've been proven to be so trustworthy. That's
there's a way to live life.
There is, and I'm fine. And this is, hey, I don't get stressed out about this stuff. I just tell people what I think, and a lot of people get stressed because it confronts your worldview and like how you look at things. And a lot of people get that way, not just you. Right. And that's why we have this discussion a lot, is because I'm fine with how it is. It's,
yeah,
just
I don't have to be 100% confident,
yeah,
in what I believe.
And that's fine.
And I'm okay.
Yeah.
And you can be 100% confident. And
right.
And that's okay.
It is okay. And that's this is not a heaven hell issue. This is just I enjoy these things that are not easily explainable. I enjoy those things. I enjoy looking into those things. I enjoy kind of questioning reality, questioning things that are told to us. I enjoy those things. So that's,
yes,
why.
And next week on the podcast, Cody joins us.
That'll
to have
good
a scientific discussion with Brian.
Yes. His so Faraday cage thing. I
oh, boy.
That.
Yep. Little teaser out there. So,
all
right.
Good one.
Well, you listened to, yep, a lot of back and forth today about gravity.
And please don't send me somebody that tells me how big of an idiot that flat earthers are and how big of an idiot these people. Like, just don't send that, because do some research.
So, all right.
All right.
It's great to be with y'all again.
Yep.
We'll be back next week.
Have
Talk
great
to you
week
soon.